Okay, everyone, good evening.
Okay, so this topic is, as you can see, it's Zecher LeMikdash. Well, does this have to do with anything at this time of year? Because that's how long ago we Zecher LeMikdash is because when the Gemara talks about how to count the Omer and how whether Sfiras HaOmer is actually fulfilling the Torah law today or not. So one opinion says it's not a Doraisa anymore. We don't have the Korbanos. Now Sfiras HaOmer is just Zecher LeMikdash. So with that in mind, I thought it would be nice to, I had originally intended to do this the last Monday night before Shavuos. I forget what came up, but something did. But be that as it may, so I thought it might be a nice way to close out, or we had quite a bit of discussion on Sfiras HaOmer on this topic. Okay, so let's analyze the two words. Zecher means to remember. A mikdash is the mikdash that is no longer. So there's some kind of a mitzvah that we should make some kind of a zikaron, some remembrance of the fact that the mikdash doesn't stand. This is not to be confused with the amma by an amma that was supposed to leave unplastered in the beginning of some corner of the house. That's we usually call that also zecher l'mikdash. Is although I shouldn't say. As you'll see here, very often, very common in Bris Torah, two types of Zecher LeMikdash. So that's going to be one of them, but not the one that is at work here. And we all have all kinds of things in Shas where the Gemara says to do this thing so that we don't forget, you know, how to give challah in Chutz Laretz, that we don't forget certain unyanim. You know, the machlokas may be whether this mitzvah is actually to be observed at all in Chutz Laretz, or whether it's just observed so that when we get back to Israel, we know what we're doing. There's a famous Rashi in the Torah where he mentions that all the mitzvot are like that. Remember the Sam Temes Raila?
Wasn't that true for washing?
Yeah, it's one for Truma, Sra, yeah. So we wash for bread. Really, if you really analyze the Maseches Yadayim, you'll see that washing for bread is more shayach for girls than for boys, if you're not a kohen. Because a girl may one day eat truma. We non-kohanim are never going to eat truma. So for us, washing for the bread is just, you know, okay, you know, keep in mind that you don't forget. But I'm never eating truma. And I used to say, one of my daughters did marry a kohen. So it's okay, maybe she'll eat truma one day. Right? So. Okay, so the also it's possible while the word zecher may have different meanings to it, it would appear logically that the shaychus of the word zecher is to remember something when it's likely that you may not. We'll see many different expressions of it, like zechoris yom haShabbos l'kadsho. Is what is obviously on the Shabbos itself. But the Ramban says, based on the logic I just mentioned, that that's a mitzvah even when it's not Shabbos.
Right.
So zikron out of Shabbos, to make a zikron out of Shabbos, by saying, and just by calling Ramban says, and just by calling it the days of the week, but by some name that is related to Shabbos, is a reminder of this decision. Maybe similar to calling the months of the year by Yitzias Mitzrayim as a function of the month is called Yom Tizchom Yitzchom 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 Yitzchom. Do everything you can to remember as much as possible. I remember doing my cheshbon and not shaving after my father passed away, and I said, you know what, finished. So that people ask, what do you say? Oh, okay, it's a zikaron. My father, it's a reminder. So it's a constant reminder. It's like a string around your finger to, you know, like Rosh Pam felt this about, you know, that film was like a string around your finger to remind you of something to, you know, when you put your watch upside down and you see, it's Sfiras HaOmer, right? It works. Every time it works. So these are that's the zikaron. So then there are some other zikaron. I mean, the way to show that zikaron has multiple meanings is the famous sheish zechiros. They're all different. Some are once a year, some are every day. Some, I mean, if it says poyim echayecha, I get it. But But we treat, remember what God did to Miriam in the Midbar. I mean, what is that? Right? So the Ramban very famously counts it as one of the 613 mitzvahs, because it's a mitzvah to remember the consequences of Lashon Hara.
Come on, Miriam, that imagine.
It's about tedaber. It doesn't say about yedabru. So he was like, he had to balance between not insulting his older sister, and so he's sort of the peacemaker. And plus, he was a kohen who was needed to somehow, work out.
Like I said, needs balance between the two of them because of personality.
Yeah. So
I was wondering from what you said. Is it possible to hear Lashon Hara but not commit Lashon Hara? Like if someone's telling you Lashon Hara, you
know? Yeah. So yeah, as all in the Gemara and Aruch, and equate the listener with the talker. Sorry,
you have to believe it. Somebody happens to say it.
Yeah, you have to say it, and you have to turn them away and say, "I'm not a Kabbalist. This doesn't make sense, or I don't like it." It's true.
That's really true.
Because the Gemara in Kedushin says, "Kol haposel b'mumo posel." Basically, when I'm speaking to you, Lashon Hara, about someone else, I'm really talking about myself. I'm saying I'm better than that person who has that chisaron. Mm-hmm. So when you say no, that's not true, basically you're telling me no, you're not better than that person. It's a difficult thing to say. So anyway, I took off this extra 3 or 4 minutes because what we just did is a kiyum according to the Ramban of Zecharis Asher Asar Hashem Miriam. Because discussing the consequences of Lashon Hara, this is how Chavetz Chaim presents it in Chavetz Chaim, discussing the consequences of Lashon Hara is a fulfillment, according to the Ramban, of this Ikara. Right? Because, it's juxtaposed to the mitzvah, Yishomer b'gin et negat tzaras, Yishmor mo lasos kechol ha-shiru esum alu, kolonim alavim tishmi lasos, and it says Zechori Sesher. There's another chiddush in the middle of that, is that when the Torah says, remember how you angered Hashem in the Midbar, well, how is that observed? Do you observe that and even once a year?
Well, yeah, we read it.
What?
We read it at least once a year.
Yeah, it's someplace in the Torah, but there's a chiddush of the Baruch HaShulchan, and he says that since the Gemara says that the Parah Aduma is the kapara for the Egel, so that's what the Machaber had in mind when he said, Yesh Omrim, that the reading of Parah Aduma Parsha is fulfilling a Doraisa.
Wow.
Doraisa of Zechori Sesher Yitzavta, but so I should take out Parshas Kisisa. No, that's a Shanda. So let's, Bederech, sort of like the first Rashi and first few Rashis in Devarim, where he says that all the places where Moshe rebuked them was Derech Remez. You know what I'm talking about? Beitofel, Lavan, Chatzeros. So all those places where Rashi teaches a lesson in giving Musar is to do it. But Derech, Derech Hamiza, Daich Hakim of Hamiza.
It's like the keeping Rosh Chodesh in the Rosh Hashanah David.
Yes. I think that there's something with that also. It's a little more esoteric because what is, you have to really work on what is the Rosh Chodesh? What is the Rosh Chodesh? Because Rosh Chodesh is also Zikaron, all told of some, right?
I'm sorry, Rosh Chodesh is a Zikaron?
Yeah. That's the trick. That's the secret. It take us too far away, even though we're talking about Zikaron and Zechar Mikdash. I will send you someplace. There's an English translation of this if you have trouble getting the original. The Sforno. Sforno, one of his like seminal, Perushim HaKol HaTorah Kula, is the Sforno's this explanation of Rosh Chodesh. In Parshas Pinchas. Rosh Chodesh, right after Talmud of every day, and then Shabbos, Yom Shabbos, and then it says Rosh Chodesh, the fourth Aliyah on Rosh Chodesh. Right? So there's a Pliadika Sforno there about what the Zikara that Rosh Chodesh brings to mind.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we've established that there are different metzias and what the zikaron is. And it's very interesting. The only yom tov we don't say yizkar is yom hazikaron. Right? There's no yizkar in Rosh Hashanah. Because there doesn't have to be. All day is a yizkar. All essence of the day is yom hazikaron. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the let's read this inside, maybe together, from the other end. You see it in the top end? We've seen that a Maimer's rationale for counting only days and not weeks is the character of Sfirat HaOmer. Today is only Zecher the Mikdash. I started the shir by making reference to that. Is that he said, no, you don't have to count days and weeks. I mean, what's to be terrible? So if you only counted days, but you didn't count the weeks, Yeriot say, why? Because Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh is only Zecher l'mikdash sheni. Right? It's not a fulfilling a real Torah law. Okay?
You can't do it the other way.
No. You just say it. 7:14, 21. All right. So the Balamor of Zerachi HaLevi in his commentary to the Rif at the very end of Sochin asks the following question. So remember, we had a discussion on that over why the Rambam codifies the laws of Sfiras HaOmer in Korbanos. It's minimum Sochin. Everybody else, the Rosh, the Rif, Balamor, everybody puts the laws of Sfiras HaOmer at the end of Maseches Pesachim. Maseches Pesachim does not discuss. Maseches doesn't discuss Sfiras HaOmer, but on the sixth parak in Menachos does. So there's the rub, is that the halachic poskim like the Rosh and the Rif and the like were writing their works as modern day necessity of halach. Now the Briskas use the Rambam like Rashi. He's like a commentary to the Gemara.
Yes.
Right? So what's the obviously the upshot of the Gemara is what's the halacha, right? Okay, so the Balamor Ben Sachem asks the following question: Sfiras HaOmer Yesh Shol in Matam in Anu Amrim Bozman. He has a lot of questions he asks. His man means why do we say Shachian? We discussed that already. Okay, so. If you don't have the korban the beginning of the Sfiras HaOmer, at the end of the Sfiras HaOmer, it's a zecher ba'alma. Amar zecher mikdashu. Yeah, okay. Now we happen to count days and weeks, right? Right, so that's his excuse for not saying the Shachianah, because it's just a Zecher anyway. I don't say the Muchon Mizum Lekai Mitzvah Sasei Shal Sfiras HaOmer. Yeah, we know that it's in its Ikar Mitzvah Sasei. It's just that L'Dav Oneinu, we don't have a base of Mikdosh to get the full scope of the Mitzvah Sasei. Okay. I mean,
Even if the person before that during the day the Av should make the Shachianah.
Oh yeah, so is he implying that or a girl
and
yeah,
right.
any child.
Yeah.
As soon as the child reaches 30 days, you say, oh, it's not an Av. Now a child can be very sick and reach day 40 and still be very sick and would still make a pidyon aben for that child.
But. Right, but tied to the pidyon aben is the fact that it's not an nefel.
I think what he means is that fact, coupled with the fact that you're fulfilling a mitzvah and you're in, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you a male b'chor,
but his retort
seems to flow from his words that we should always make a.
If he said out of context, you check on a pair of your shoes. What you do the birth of a daughter?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's a question I have in my. I saw it in my book in Parshas Tazri. I just asked the question. Is my partial book on Vayikra? I mean, what is it that we don't want to wait till day 30 so that we can make sure the child's a nefel? What are you talking about? This boy, more than 3 weeks ago, had a serious traumatic event performed on his body. Forget about putting him on a pillow with some, you know, what are we doing to the kid on a pidyon haben? What are we waiting until day 30? We should do a pidyon haben the day after the bris. If he could survive a bris, he's no longer a nefel. Right? So what's the answer to that? Is in all chim b'mamon is a chararov. You're right. You're right. We maybe could do it, but you're supposed to, you're taking five, the coin is getting five shkolim for this. If you're going to take five shkolim for this, I want to make sure that he's yotzei, you know, that he goes. Rove boys who survive a bris lift their past day 30. Not just that, Deruba, 99.999% of boys who survive a bris survive to the pidyon.
Even
Mistama. They didn't survive birth to such a great rove, but if they survived the bris, then the answer is that when it comes to mamonas, if you want to extract five shkolim from this father, Mr. Cohen, then you have to wait till it's full. Okay. In explanation of the Baal HaMor's second answer, the Rav characterizes two types of Zecher LeMikdash. Second answer that it's nefesh and Rav characterizes two types of Zecher LeMikdash. Some rituals were designed by Chazal to perpetuate an image of the Beis HaMikdash in its former glory. Others were designed to focus on its current state of desolation, the Kurbanah. Mm-hmm. We have noted that the Gemara offers two separate derivations for the concept of Zecher LeMikdash.
Oh.
Right? So I started and said, I said the one that I want, you know, we want to, that we say Zecher LeMikdash, do these positive things so that you can pine for the Beis HaMikdash. Is the one with the Amma by the door is this the second kind. The Baba Basra Dav Samach. Kachem Ruchachem. So the Adam is based on the Sid, and Mishaya Bo Davam Ruad. Rabbi Yosef Amo Al Amo, Amo Chizda Keneged HaPesach. Okay, so it's near the front door. I see what's very, very popular in Israel today is that they leave it unplastered. Right? So it's, you know, it's a little paint like, you know, whatever the color paint is. And then it looks like cement. But they put on top of that, like I'll describe it. But it says "Imeshkachech Yishlam Tishkach Yimini." On top of that, so it actually looks. I've heard that some rabbanim don't like this. You're making a design out of it. It's supposed to look. The whole kiyum is that it looks out of place. But I can't imagine that this would have been made into a popular thing, if not for.
I'm sure out of that book. It's
not. Someone's making money on it, of course. But.
Well, I've seen actually just covered with like just some of the things that like the cement that didn't fall off.
Yeah,
so they cover for like it's transparent.
Mm-hmm. Kind of,
but that's
okay. So it says. Also, Adam called Sir Chesud the Mishayu Davamuah. I.e., Amar Papa Kasa Daharsin. So the Gemara gives a nitin of Samach there. Gives some examples of things you should diminish. Some food you like, some clothing. Diminish certain things as a Zecher LeMikdash. Oh, why are you doing this? Oh, it's a Zecher LeMikdash. So what's interesting is, and I have to say. It's a worthwhile thing to say, even if it's not technically historically right, is that most people think that you're breaking a glass at the end of the wedding as a Zecher LeMikdash. Mm-hmm. That's nice. But whenever you ask, why do we do things, there could be seven or eight reasons for doing the same thing, right? But what's interesting is that if you trace the oldest reference to this thing, which is Gemara Brachos in the beginning of the fifth parak, it was at a wedding, but it had nothing to do with the mikdash. It had to do with frivolity and Kalas Rosh. So a rabbi picked up, and the guys were getting out of hand. Mm. So he picked up a very expensive glass vase and he threw it at the wall. And Tosu says, yeah, that's the minhag of why we, breaking a glass at the end of the wedding, the end of the chuppah. So now, if a rabbi is going to explain, why we're doing this, he's going to say, even on our happiest day, we remember our saddest day. But okay, in the Hanami, just because this is another reason doesn't negate the original reason. It's a fine reason, it's a fair reason, but it's in the second designation is that we would do things that we temper certain happinesses. I think singing in Mishkoche Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, which is not very popular. So all weddings do it now.
Oh, yeah, the time went very cool.
And my wedding, the Masada Kedushin put, and I always do it, it's ash, right? So under the chuppah, I've heard such chutzpah. So people said, why are you doing that? Where does it say to do that? What? It's a Gemara. It's Siman Nun Hey in Evan. I mean, it's a Shulchan Aruch. I mean, it's really, it's in the codes. I mean, and I think like, oh, here's a rabbi doing his own thing. So anyway, but now it's singing in Mishkachech. All right, it's not a Dar Chadosh. It's a worthwhile thing. Okay, weiter. So he says at the end, I'll just read the last line. Cholam Yisabel al Yerushalayim zocher b'roa b'simchasa shnemar simchas Yerushalayim b'gilu boko hol ham Yisablim. It's not Torah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. It's like if no one is remembering, let's say Rani Arad is found alive. Remember him? He was the one taken captive in 1980.
Yeah.
I remember him. Some people still say Mishberach, remember, but he's been confirmed again and again. He's not alive. He was killed right away. But let's say he is found alive. It was a mistake. So if you've been saying a Mishberach for him all these years, the joy for you to see him alive is very different than someone who just doesn't even remember the name, obviously. So when you're constantly Misabel and Yerushalayim, even at this time, so that the real Gila will be for such a person that's been mourning throughout the time. Okay. Now, there are all sorts of Zecho LeMikdash that's in a very different type of mode. For instance, when Midoraisa, carrying the Lulav and Esrog, did you know it was only the first day of Sukkot? Outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It says because it says Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Shivas Yamim. The Gemara Darshins, the only time it's a mitzvah to carry the lulav for the 7 days is actually in the Beis Hamikdash itself. Right, so good. I mean, it's Sukkot. We're going on a pilgrimage. We're all in the mikdash. Good, fine, that's fine. Yeah, but now there is no mikdash, so we're going to just have Sukkot one day for the. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made it a zecher lemikdash. Let the Jews carry the Lulav and Esrog all 7 days and make a bracha. Birchas HaMitzvah. As a zecher lemikdash. So we should discuss what's the nature of the bracha. The second day of Sukkot, if you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, this is not a fulfillment of a Torah law. Okay, fine. We also make a bracha on lighting the menorah. We make a bracha on lighting on Seder and reading the Megillah. We make a bracha on Erev. We make a bracha on and Hallel, we make a bracha on Erev Tevshel, and Erev Tehumim, Erev Tichatzeres, these are all the Rabbanans. So when we make a bracha, it's a fascinating thing. Is there a nafkaminas? I mean, usually when something is fulfilling a Torah law, and I'm not sure if I did this thing, I don't do it again. A Torah law, I do it again. It's a rabbinic law, I don't do it again. So if I'm not sure if I should move an Esrog on the third day of Sukkot, Mistama, take the Lulav and you have it, don't make a bracha. Right, because this is not a Torah law, it's a rabbinic law. I'm making this up.
You know, the first day, you shouldn't make the bracha.
You're not sure. Yeah, if you're not sure, Mr. Stanley, also, the first day.
Yeah.
Is Hashem Yilchagusa? Right. So that's clearly a good zecher lemikdash. You know, we were happy with.
Isn't it like we're experiencing the mikdash rather than it's more than just a zecher.
Yes. In fact, there's a Maamar Chazal, and it's also in my book. There's a Maamar Chazal that says that if you take the lulav and esrog and you circle the bima and shul, it's like you walked around the mizbeach. I can't know some mizbeach. Yisruchag bavosim I can't know some mizbeach. So this is b'derech tzachos. Mamish, the gematria of Lulav plus Esrog plus Hadas plus Arava is 1,024. And if you're good in math, you know that 1,024 is 2 to the 10th power. So what? The Mizbeach is 32 Amos by 32 Amos. 32 is 2 to the 5 power. Times 2 to the 5 power is 2 to the 10 power. So it fits the numerical. I think it's a gra. It has to be a gra.
That's really
But it underscores the same point you're making, is that when we carry the lulav on day 4, you're entering the mikdash, and I don't just mean this with tongue in cheek. Like when the Gemara talks about blowing the shofar, is like being in the. Remember, the Gemara talks about why you shouldn't have bold on your shofar by the mouthpiece. Because in Kategor Nasa Sanego, he says, yeah, but that's only in Yom Kippur in the Beis Hamikdash. When you're blowing shofar, you're in the Olam Moed, in the shofar, and you're getting close to the Kodesh Kedoshim when you're blowing shofar. And it's a Gemara, and I think Daf Yitzayin, Rosh Hashanah. That's amazing.
You said it's like being in the Kodesh.
Let me explain that. In Kategor Nasa Sanego means don't let a prosecutor be a defendant.
Yeah, I understand.
That's why the Kohen Gadol takes off his gold garments when he goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim. He puts on white garments. Right? Familiar with this? That we stay away from gold things on Yom Kippur so as not to bring up the gold, the
memory.
Right. So the Gemara says don't use a shofar with gold on the front, on the mouthpiece, because it'll remind you of the Ego. But then the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Kohen Gadol wears gold all the time. It's just that, when he goes in, so the Gemara says, when you blow the shofar, you're going with flat.
But he doesn't blow the shofar in
there. No, he doesn't. No. When we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we are kivayochol, of course, I'm saying this in some kind of mystical fashion, but that the Gemara says that you're the shofar brings you, his experience of kivayochol, that brings you into the Kodesh Kodesh. All right, so these types of when the Gemara says, how do we know that we should remember the Mikdash? So in Yirmiyahu it says, Sion is in a state of depression. Doresh ain law. She has no Doresh. It's here. You see, it's the Gemara Sukkah. Right? So the Mishnah says, you see it with me in the Mishnah in the middle of the page? Page 136. Okay. The last words is just Vishayom Yom Hanaf is the day of the Minchas Omer. Yom Hanaf Kulo Aser. What's the Zecher Mikdash there? Is that in the Beis Hamikdash, as soon as the Minchas Omer was offered, then the people, it might be already coming tomorrow.
Well, who wants to marry?
So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Nasi at the time of the Chorban. He was the Nasi at the time of the Chorban. It's an interesting thing is that before him, no one carried the title Rabban. Before him, it was Hillel, Shammai, Yitzhar Beli, Shimon ben Shetal. So, because when the Beis Hamikdash stands, the Rabbanan are Kohanim. Right? So with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, it was an invention of a new title, Rabbi. Okay, no one bears that title before.
But they call the Kohanim
Rabbanan? No, they just called the Kohanim, but they were the teachers.
I see. You see, took a while to catch on. It's sort of like a buyer.
That could be because of their youth, so they didn't reach a certain age. But yeah, there's still some shmuel around. Okay, so the Gemara says, where did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai get this rule from? Yom Hanaf Kulo Aser means that when the Beis Hamikdash stood, as soon as they offered the barley offering on the second day of Pesach, now you can start harvesting the new grain. Well, when can you start harvesting the grain when there is no Beis Hamikdash and another offering? Right? So he says to wait till the full second day is over. Right? And then there are Anshe Maisa who keep Chodesh and Yashan and Kutzlaritz, who wait even second Yom.
Every second one.
They wait till the night of the third day of Pesach. Because it's Sfekad Yom for them. So they won't eat Chodesh until the third day. Okay, so Gemara says, know that he should even do this. So Gemara answers, Gemara goes on to explain why they kept that extra chomer for the day of the Omer. Let's not get into that right now. Okay, so these two citations clearly express two different motifs. Don't you see it, right? Okay, each one shows two different elements of Zecher Mikdash. One, to remember the Mikdash in its glory, and two, to remember the Mikdash in its Churban. And just as the Rav is such a classic Rav, he finds that this is in the Tanakh itself, right? There's a pasuk in Eicha that, according to B, page 137, according to Rashi, although not according to Ben Ezra, reflects our two motifs. So, Chor Yerushalayim Yimei Anya Umrudeha Kol Machamadeha Asher Hayu Yimei Kedem. So Rashi says, Chor Yerushalayim Begolusa. He's in the middle there. Yimei Anya Yimei Churban Asher Biyol Yideyoni Umrudeha Lashem Tzar Kamavi Radati Al Ha'arim. Oh, huh? Doesn't say that in Shofti. I read B'Sichi Bahima. Okay. Kol Machmadeha V'Zachro Kol Tuv Machmadeha Shemimei Kedem. I don't know. That seems to just be more of Mas Nefesh, no?
Yeah.
Like when I sometimes drive down the Grand Concourse, you know, and I say, oh my goodness, this used to be the Grand Concourse. It was the most coveted address in the United States. Right? And what kind of, imagine the 2333 Grand Concourse. I grew up a half a block off the Grand Concourse. When I lived there, it wasn't the Grand Concourse anymore. All right. So when you look at it, you say, oh my goodness, look what this used to be. This was in 1920 or 1910. This Grand Concourse was within 40, 50 years of living memory. So that's Agnes Nefesh, no? So, all right. I mean.
Unless it's contrasting. I agree. I think you're right. And there's contrasting.
The Aniyah,
or
God,
then, I agree with you that
the actual
worst
you
could call
the splendor. Yeah, so it could be that, Kedarko Bakodesh isn't going to explain the parallelistic structure like Ibn Ezra will. Rashi wants to get to two different things out of that. Okay. Well, let's just finish reading B, and then we'll have to go. And I regret to tell you, and next Monday I have another wedding, another graduation. It just doesn't end. And going to Rashi, the second and third clauses are each in the accusative case. They each constitute the direct object of the verb in the first clause. Yerushalayim personified thus recalls both its devastation and its former splendor. In Nebuchadnezzar, however, the second clause is an adverbial one which modifies the circumstances surrounding the verb in the first clause. That's the parallelistic nature of them. Yerushalayim, during days of affliction, recalls its former glory.
That
lack that looks probably yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's more good lamdas in this Tosfos and Megillah to really look at. Maybe if there's Zechel Mikdash just transcends the sphere of Salomir, so there's still a lot to do. Okay, but I have to I just want to get ready for the telling class. So we're going to well, certainly invited to stay for that. And however, I'm just going to switch over to the Tillman class, okay?